very good afternoon to you, Namibia, and the Namibians. A very good afternoon to you. Welcome to Family Dynamics right here on your number one talk radio station. Of course, the show where we talk about family affairs, getting right into the nitty-gritties of families and everything that needs to be discussed to make the family thrive. Of course, this is the show on your number one talk radio station, that is Eagle FM. I'm your host, Nafa. Happy as usual here to keep you company yet again on this Tuesday afternoon. I sure hope that you are doing well in this new year. Of course, it's still the new year. We're still in the beginning, but I don't think we should be wishing welcome to the new year. At this point, I think I've gotten to a point where I'm like, same to you, same to you, same to you. So it's becoming a little bit of a lot now. We're getting into the work now of the new year. So if you see me, just say, hi, welcome to the new year. Okay, bye. Welcome to the new year. Now, of course, I'm joined in studio by an interest, a very lovely guest of mine. We're going to discuss about family dynamics, family and business. Now, that's an interesting aspect. I mean, we're always talking about business, but do we ever attach family to it? Because a lot of businesses that are thriving is the result of good family businesses. Now, I'm joined in studio by Mr. Joshaphat Kashindi Andreas. A very good afternoon to you, sir, and welcome to the studio.
Good afternoon, madam. Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you.
Amen.
It's a pleasure to have you indeed. Yeah. Now, of course, we're talking about, this is a show about family. Family dynamics, that's the title of the show. So before we get into business, let's understand, what does family mean for you? And why is family so important? And especially two families now we're talking about. The family where you come from and the family that you are responsible for, the family that you build. Why is family so important?
Family is important because all the values are being passed on from family members.
True.
Family is also important because everything that you do as an individual comes from and will affect the family.
Yeah.
So for me, family is in Africa, family is everybody. You know, because everybody is everybody's cousin.
Yeah. So, exactly.
I'm happy to be here that we can talk about family and so I think family is important because without family there are no communities, and without communities we can't build countries, and without countries we can't have the world.
Exactly. And you know, our constitution, and I like saying this a lot. Yeah. Our constitution says that the society is a fundamental. A family is a fundamental unit of the society. So in other words, our society is made up of small family units. Yes. And it's important that we put our all into our family, because those values are being passed on within the family.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, that is exactly what it is, because, a child is born, and we even have a proverb that says, it takes a village to raise a child.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So a child is born and that child grows up being looked after not only by their own parents, but by their siblings as part of the family, by the neighbors. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we say, go and play at the neighbors, and then the auntie at the neighbors is looking after your children.
Yes.
So everybody plays a role in bringing up children. So a family really is an important aspect of our lives.
And that's
We can't divorce it from anything else that we're doing.
That's true. Mr. Andreas, would you say that the community is still living up to that proverb?
It does. But we have a lot of changes that are happening. I see, like when you go to Europe and you see, you can have like a sectional title kind of house.
Mm.
And the neighbor comes out seeing you outside in your yard, but they don't greet you.
I think
we are getting a lot of that coming to Namibia.
Yeah.
And it has already
exactly what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Not even Europe. So let's talk about Kline Kupe.
Yeah.
I don't know about Clay Window. Yeah. Maybe it's more.
In Katura, we say hi to our neighbors, you know.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Places like Kline Kupe, Ludwigsdorf, you know, people don't really talk. Not a lot of people talk to each other. It's very, very important for us to keep that going, because at the end of the day, a family includes, I mean, if your neighbor's house catches fire, the first thing that I would do is to run to my neighbor.
Exactly.
Whether I know them or not. They are black or white or colored or whatever, it doesn't matter. But that is how it has been in Africa. But these days, because of modernization, I think a lot of people tend to keep to themselves and not really want to get into other people's businesses
and things like that.
But it's very un-African as far as I'm concerned. For me, my neighbors, I speak to them. If their kids come and I have $10, I can buy sweets, not only for my four kids, but I buy 10 if it's enough. And then I give the other neighbor's kids, if they can give me permission, because these days.
That's the thing again.
Yeah, so there's a lot that's of things thing happening again. With that family. Yeah.
So I guess that proverb can also be kept alive. It's I'm just thinking about it now because I know I usually say, nowadays, it's no longer taking a village to raise kids. Mm-hmm. I have to raise my own kids, my neighbors just, but then, so then I think now that I'm hearing you speak that part, it takes me also as well to ensure that that proverb stays alive. Yes. I have my part to play as well. Mm-hmm. There's a friend of mine who, some time ago, I remember went to visit her mom and, at the time, the mom was staying in Khoriakha. And you know what? She deliberately bought bread and oros. That's it. Bread and oros. Yeah. And she went to call. And she, as she got home, she asked one of the kids to call the neighbor's child. Mm-hmm. And she gave the boy, it was a girl, I think, bread and oros. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, she was telling me that, not in bragging or whatsoever, she was just telling me that, well, it's a thing that I've just developed that when I do come around, I buy the child oros and bread. Do you know how significant that really, that small act is? So, and it taught me something. Happy? Mm-hmm. You can make a difference even with the small that you have. It doesn't always have to be a big gesture. Just the fact that that child is going to go to school with bread tomorrow and oros because of you is a whole big deal. So I guess really that proverb can stay alive by us, me individually also playing my part.
That is very correct.
Yeah.
It's just that these days, one of the things that I've seen is that, like, you buy bread, you give oros to somebody's child.
Yeah.
And then maybe in the next 30 minutes, they eat something else and then it causes them a stomach thing. Then now the parents will come. You gave my child bread. So we need to just, for me, one of the things that I do is, I ask the parents to say, okay, is it okay if I bless your child with maybe, $10? Because they're also parents. I've met parents who say, don't give my children money. I haven't taught them money and don't give, you see, things like that. So at the end of the day, we need to also just be, proactive.
Yeah.
You go to the parents and say, is it okay if I give your child something?
Or, I hear you.
Because these days, somebody's child can fall ill because they ate something else that they ate after they ate what you gave them. And then it becomes a whole issue. Yeah. So that is why I think we really need to be careful, but not to throw that out. We need each other. Communities need each other.
Yeah.
Neighbors need each other.
Yeah.
If you know your neighbor well enough, you can trust them with your children. You say, okay, I'm just going quickly to town to do something. Can you please look after my kids while I'm coming? Yeah, but these days it's not so easy because one, if something happens there, then
the eyes are on you, even if you're very innocent.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? That's all right. And it's, I think it's a time for us to be cautious as well and be very careful as you rightly explain it right there. Now let's get right into what you eat every day and drink every day. That is business.
Mango pop, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That is business.
Okay.
Now, I think we need to give some background because listeners will be like, who is this? Does he even own a business in the first place?
Exactly.
Now, he didn't know what is a business. So let's find out really, when it comes to business for you, before we get into, business and family.
Yeah.
What type of business, do you own? And before you tell us how did you get there? What were you doing before that? And what made you,
Okay. First of all, I used to run I went to school.
Okay.
In the north, finished my grade 12 there at David Shaham Secondary School.
Aha.
Passed very well.
What's the school's name you said?
David Shaham Secondary School. Okay. It's named after the late Ras Shaham
School.
Oh. Yeah. So that's, I'm from Otapi town. That's my hometown. And, so I grew up there. And, so I came to Windhoek, went to UNAM, did my bachelor's degree in education. Mm-hmm. Became a teacher, went back to the same school to teach there.
Nice.
Which was really nice because my teachers were still there who used to pinch me. But I thank God for them,
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I started working there and, I only worked there for 2 years, left the country, to the UK, stayed in the UK for 4 years. They used to run a program called the Working Holiday program where you just apply yourself. Now, those days there were no agencies that would help you to apply for your visa or anything. You just do it yourself. You go to the embassy and you get a form, you fill in and all that. Yeah. Send your passport to South Africa. A week later, they send it back declining you or saying, okay, you got it. So I got it and then
like,
I went
to the UK. Send your physical passport to South Africa.
Yeah. They will do the sending. Yeah.
Wow.
The embassy.
That required faith for me to release my passport, hey?
Nee.
Yeah, nowadays it's now just pictures, the data page picture, which is
but even now you still need to do that. In fact, people even have to go, like if you're going to Canada, you need to go to South Africa physically to do your biometrics there at their embassy. So
why can't they bring it here to Namibia?
I guess that's a very good
question. Those are questions that we
maybe
can
that's
have.
Why I'm into that business also. So
yeah,
I'll
you tell us more.
So after coming back from the after the 4 years in the UK, I just went there to work, right? Legally.
Okay.
With a visa, right?
Okay.
So I worked, I came back, I had some money, I went back into teaching again because here I couldn't find other work.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2008, I actually came back in 2007 in December from the UK.
Yeah.
So 2008, a cousin of mine introduced me to network marketing, a business called Neolife.
Okay.
And I signed up. I didn't understand much of it. I started asking questions and I took it very seriously. By the end of the first month
Does that business deal with?
Okay. It's a business like, just like Forever Living Products.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
It's just that it's the first company that started doing this type of businesses.
Okay.
Yeah? 1958 it started.
Okay.
So if you go to the history of all the other network marketing companies that we know today, they all started after that. And most of their owners were either members of the Neolife business first and stuff like that. Yeah. So that's the business that when I joined it and then I started attending the trainings that we have, because those days we only used to do training on physically, face to face.
Okay.
We didn't have Zoom meetings and things like that. Then I started understanding more of what business it is, what you need to do for you to succeed. So the first month, I ran a challenge. I challenged myself. I actually asked my cousin, because my cousin joined, I think, 2 years before me.
Yeah.
And then she, she introduced me. So when she introduced me, I said, okay, is it really true that people make money from this type of businesses? Because I was very skeptical, very skeptical,
like
very negative. I was that guy.
Which is a good thing.
So, yeah. Uh-huh. And then she says, no, I mean, it just depends on you. If you want to make money, even end of this month, you can get paid.
Okay.
End of this month. And I was a broke school teacher then, you know, I was very, very broke. I've got a business mentor in the US who always says, I was broke and ready to choke.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was me. So I didn't have money. I had a lot of debts. I had Letseco loans and Intrepo loans and all sorts of loans.
Yeah.
I never went to the cash loans, but I used to take those loans and I was in debt. So when the salary comes in and they deduct their money, I was out.
Left
so it. That was the reason that why I wanted to join. The second reason was that I also wanted to take care of my health because they told me that company has very good products that you can use and they can actually reverse your sickness.
Oh.
Now that time I was suffering from acute sinusitis, that's sinus, and acute tonsillitis. I had tonsils. I was not allowed to drink cold drinks because if I do that, then the tonsils swell up and my just to tell you how serious the tonsils and the sinus that I had was.
Yeah.
Because I was a school teacher and I had medical aid,
mm-hmm.
I was able to exhaust my medical aid within 4 months. In 1 year. So I was left with, 8 months.
Yeah.
without medical aid because the money is finished. Can you imagine that? Because not everybody, I mean, I don't know how many people have finished their medical aid because the medical aid, they allow you money from the 1st of March or of April.
Yeah.
Until this year and until the 1st of April the following year. Like now, you still used your medical aid from last year.
That's
April.
Their financial
until the 1st of April,
year ends in April. Okay.
Yeah. So if in 4 months, because I was in and out of hospital to this doctor, go to that doctor. And you know, it's two conditions. It's sinus is different,
yes.
Different specialist. Tonsils is the different specialist. So I was doing like that. So I was sick and tired of being sick.
Obviously.
Yeah. And I was broke. Now, there's no better, there's no worse combination, being sick and broke.
Yeah, I hear you.
So those two reasons forced me to actually sign the form and get started. And then my cousin said, okay, if you just, do a few things. Like if you get a few other people to join the business and then you buy a few products and you make like a few points. Yeah. Like 100 points or something like that.
Yeah.
Then at the end of the month, if your points go to over 500 points, then you can get a small check, maybe of 150.
Okay.
I was like, don't say, because 150 in 2008, you could go and fill up a trolley in ShopRite.
Yes.
Because that time I remember 2008, I think the taxi fare was $5 or something like that.
Uh-huh. It was a long time ago.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that long time ago, but you see, money loses value as
with
we go
time.
Forward. Yeah,
yes.
With time.
That's true.
And that's what people don't understand. A lot of people don't understand it, but that's how it is.
Yeah.
Because I remember in 2008, my salary was what? 6,000? As a school teacher?
Yeah,
qualified
yeah.
school teacher with a UNAM degree?
Yeah. And that was a lot of money.
6,000. That's what I used to take home.
Nice.
So, end of that month, I got 6 people to sign up.
Okay.
I worked with them because they told me to say, okay, you need to teach them what you know. So okay. I taught them what I know for a month. Imagine your business experience for a month. It's very small. So
the little that you had, you gave
it. I said, okay, you guys, you come in the same way you come in. Let's find also a few other people to come in under yourselves because I join. You join under me, and then we help you to get other people under you.
Oh.
So that you too can get paid.
Okay. Nice.
So by the end of that month, I had 6 people who have joined my team, and they have all done 100 points. And so that, before I say how much that was. And then I was a school teacher at Yanmore Secondary School.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was in the hostel. I was a hostel superintendent to get an extra money again, because I think those days they used to pay 1,500.
Which
extra?
Was extra money.
Yeah.
It was money.
Yeah, but even with that extra, how broke I was, it wasn't still enough. I needed extra. I needed another extra.
I hear you.
It's out of me. Yeah. So, then I went to the hostel superintendent quickly. I explained to him to say, I've joined a business. I didn't actually say I joined the business. I said, no, I can supply the hostel, the boys hostel, with some cleaning products from this company.
Ooh.
Because they do cleaning products, they do healthcare products,
okay.
They do facial products.
You're serious
everything.
With your business? You're serious?
So luckily, I was in favor, I think, with that guy. So he said, okay, no problem. We can buy a few products for the hostel. I can write a check for you. You go and cash it at Standard Bank. And then you can bring us the products. So I bought a few products. I think he only bought products for, I think, 1,000 something.
Yeah.
1,800 or something like that. Because he just bought the basics. And then now one of the things that I needed to do was to show these products how to use them. Because those products are concentrates.
Okay.
So you don't buy like the same jig you buy from ShopRite and just pour it in a bucket and start mopping. That one you need to measure it and
dilute it
first. And then the diluted part of that thing, that whole concoction, is what you now add to the water that you are going to use to mop if you are mopping or to wash dishes.
Interesting.
So I had to go in and do that for the workers.
Oh.
And that was my selling point again, because I was like, okay, I can also train your workers on how to use the products, because those products are high quality. So if you give them to anybody, they will just pour in the same way they do with the normal stuff they use, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that will not be good for business now for the other person, because the product will get finished faster.
Yeah.
So I went in, did a bit of training for them. We actually did some cleaning with them. And then at the end of that month, my profit, I think, was 400 from that. And then the company paid me $600 and something. So that month, the very first, because I signed up on the 3rd of March, 2008.
He still remembers.
So by the end of March, it wasn't actually even a month, because that's 3 days less in a month, because I joined on the 3rd.
Yeah.
So by the end of the month, I was paid 1,000, I think 200 or 1,100 something there. From the business. My profit was 400 from supplying the products in the school. And the money that I got paid, because I brought in these people who have also bought some products for themselves, was 600 something.
Imagine.
Now, when that happened, that was my moment of breakthrough. Then I knew that these people, because I attended different meetings first before I joined, right?
Uh-huh.
And they even called me to a meeting where people were getting checks, but I was like, are these checks even real, or these guys are just trying to get us to join this?
Yeah,
team?
Yeah. they hired some people to come and be actors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after that, I saw the business works, and then the following month, I think I went to Tiger Wheels and Tire here in town.
Okay.
Spoke to the manager. He agreed for me to supply them with one of the products to wash the hands of the guys who are fixing tires for cars.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was really good because that product is just good for the eyes, the hands, because it also was made with it's a soap, mm-hmm. but it was made with, they added a bit of coconut oil. So when you wash your hands with it, you don't have to necessarily apply lotion.
Oh, I see.
After you have rinsed your hands and stuff.
Interesting.
And it was working. So then I started supplying them. And then I went for the next holiday, Otapi. There was a man, I hope he's still there, that Peter Nambele.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a businessman in Ukwambi and Utapi. He had a car wash in Utapi. We had a car wash product. And that car wash is like a 5 milliliter thing. 500 mils.
Okay.
The bottle.
Uh-huh.
But that bottle can wash up to 100 cars. Because you just take off the cap.
Yeah.
You pour.
Yeah.
One cap is enough to wash like a 4x4.
Interesting.
The Toyota Corollas and these smaller cars, you make half a cap, the cap of the bottle, like just like you have a bottle of Coke, the cap. Yeah. So, I bought one, went there, showed the workers, asked to see the manager. The manager came. He couldn't make a decision. He says, no, okay, Tata Peter will be coming when? I waited for him to come. I said, can you set up a meeting? I went, I spoke to him. Because you see, if you are marketing and you speak to the guy who is cleaning the cars, his interest is not about saving the money. I mean, even though they are being told,
yes,
saving the car wash money. No, his interest is to come, wash cars, go home, get paid end of the month.
That's true.
So if you speak to the manager, he has a bit of a vested interest saving the company money, because maybe his job is dependent on those
of
things.
Of course.
But and if you speak to the owner,
ooh,
the owner is the guy who eventually bleeds money if the car wash is not working,
exactly.
Working well. Yeah, so he gave me a small contract. I started supplying those products to him. So it just grew from there.
Mm.
Yeah, so that is now 2008. By the end of 2008, sorry, in 9 months, I moved from zero to getting paid 8,000 Namibia dollars, which was $2,000 more than my salary as a school teacher qualified with my UNAM degree.
In that first year, nine months.
It took me from zero to 8,000 something.
Yeah.
In just about 9 months. So then from there, a few things started changing, because now you can pay off your debts.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
With that extra money.
Yeah.
Your salary comes in, and sometimes you even forget that it's the 20th, because you don't necessarily have to do anything with the salary, because the other money is still there that you got from the business. And remember those days, I live in the hostel, I don't pay rent. They actually pay for my accommodation because I'm a hostel superintendent.
Yeah.
So, I didn't have a car. So I needed to, that time.
And you were not working to school. You were not driving to school. You're already in school.
I had actually left the car that I was driving when I was in the UK. I left it in the UK with a friend of mine to send it to me later. On. Yeah.
No, I mean like in school, Etienne Moore, you were not having to come from outside.
From the hostel
you see now.
To the school. Yeah. So it was a very smart decision. And I want people, you see, that's why my title now, I say I'm a business consultant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a coach and a mentor.
Okay.
Because it's important to get a mentor if you are in business.
Okay.
Now I'll tell you a bit about my mentors and things like that. But for now, yeah. So that's it. Where did I divert? Because I have a lot to say. So you need to keep reminding me to put me back.
Okay, let's rewind. You spoke about concerning the before. Oh my goodness! Now I must have lost it. I'm going with the flow.
I see you're also interested in this.
Exactly. Okay. You ended up with a story.
Yeah.
I was speaking about, the tire business. So you left that one. You're going to move on to something else.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So now I was supplying the hostel. I'm supplying the car tire place and I'm supplying the car wash business for Tata Peter Nambele in Otapi.
And salary's coming in.
And the salary is still coming
more
in.
Than
so, now this every month, when these guys order products, Tata Nambele, the hostel and the car people, profit is coming.
This was a continuous thing.
Yeah.
You had to supply
the
to
guys
them.
Were happy with the products, because when you go there the first time, when you supply the first time, they check whether these things work. If they don't work, or you are not reliable, when they go, you are not there or whatever, you lose business.
Yeah.
So that's basically how the whole thing started. Eventually, an Angolan who brought their car to Tata Pina Nambele's thing, saw the product being used to wash his car.
Yeah.
He asks for my number. The manager had it. He gave me. I started supplying him to supply Angola.
Interesting.
So that is why it breaks my heart when I see people introduced to a network marketing business and they just take it like it's just one of those things where you just sell one bottle of pills to somebody and like a bottle of cleaning detergent.
Mm.
If you take it as a business person,
yeah,
it will treat you and pay you like a business person. And that's what I've been doing. So eventually I had it.
And that, yeah. I'm sorry. And that is what I'm picking up from you.
Yeah.
You're not just, you didn't just get introduced to a business.
Yeah.
You were zealous with the business. You ran with it. And I think that's where the problem comes in. Mm-hmm. And that's where you also come in to talk to us about being zealous for the business that you're doing.
Yes.
I think it's regardless whatever business you are, whatever it is that it's paying the bills,
yeah,
the zeal that you put in it will reward you in the long run. But if you're dragging your feet, then the fruit of it are also going to be dragging.
I'm taking it seriously. That is the whole thing. Like, really, you see, people say, oh, no, you need to find something that you are passionate about. Sometimes you don't know that you'll be passionate about it until you are in it.
Thank you.
Simple as that.
I didn't know I would be passionate about radio until I was in it.
Exactly. So we are talking the same language.
Yes.
So get in first.
Mm.
Get in first.
True.
Then after that, you see how it goes. And then from there, you can find your passion. Like, the type of person that I was, like, first I said I was very negative.
Yeah.
Two, I was very reclusive. Like, I'm just a person who, like if I'm going to town to buy something there,
yeah,
I take my headphones, I put them on, I listen to my music, I do like this to the cab, they stop, I say one word, then I put back my earphones, we drive to town, I don't say anything to that guy, maybe I'll greet him, greeting, because I mean, I was brought up like that, like,
you need
to greet people and stuff,
that's
what I do. I go in the shop, I look for what, I even waste time looking for something when I can just ask the shopkeeper, which aisle can I find what? I was that
introvert.
I was a very, very serious introvert.
Mm.
So I didn't know I was going to be like this. But this came because of the business. Because one, the training that you get is invaluable. The training that you get in a network marketing business, especially the one I'm doing. I don't know about others because maybe they don't do training. Maybe they do, but the one. So it moved me from being this reclusive, lonely kind of person, you know, introvert to an extrovert and somebody who can now speak before people.
Yeah.
Like I can do presentations now and all those things. Leadership. as we go, I'll probably mention some of the things that we've done in the business.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So basically that is how I started the New Life business. Mm. And then the New Life business is what opened now the doors. I'm still doing it today, by the way.
Okay.
And in fact, fast forward from there, I moved to a situation where I now started helping a lot of other people who have joined in my team,
mm-hmm.
and they started getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would coach them and help them to become leaders for their own teams. And by the time I checked, I'm just fast forwarding because a lot of things happened between then and that time. But by 2014, I was making over four times what my salary as a school teacher was at the time.
Wow.
And then I found a beautiful wife, lady. And
I was about to ask you, were you married the time you were? Thank God you're not married with all your debts and stuff.
That is true. When you are single, grind and hustle as much as possible. Yeah,
exactly.
Hustle and grind as much as possible so that you can make a better future for the wife that you're going to have or the husband that
so you can be able to support
and those
them.
Kids. Yeah.
True.
So, by 2012, I found a wife, got married in 2014. And then by at that point now, the business was so grown. Like I said, I was making over four times what my salary as a school teacher was.
Yeah.
I remember one month I got paid and I sneaked to the office of the school principal on the day when we were getting our payslips to check how much he gets. I'm that naughty. I mean, I used to be that naughty. So I checked his salary.
I'm glad you said yes. And then?
If he's listening.
What did you call him? Please don't say his salary.
I don't know who he is because I moved so many schools, so I don't think he would know. Yeah, but I snuck in his office.
Please find him. He's currently in studio.
So that you can come and give him a slap. Yeah, so I found out how much the principal is getting.
Yeah.
I knew how much HODs were getting because as a school teacher, Obviously you,
you're doing homework.
Okay, let me.
I don't blame you because you're doing your homework.
Okay, let me rephrase. Yeah. First of all, Government Gazette has put the principal salary. I mean, everybody in government, the salaries, we know the range.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I wanted to know how much my particular school principal takes home, because it's also one thing how much you get paid,
exactly.
But it's another thing. How much you actually take home. Yeah. Because if you have 10 loans, yes. You might take home less than your teacher.
Yeah. Oh.
So he didn't have a lot of loans.
Okay.
But when I checked what I was earning from New Life, his salary was going into mine twice. Yeah. Twice. Yeah. Yes. So when I saw that, I started thinking, do I actually need to be here?
Good question.
Because one, when you become a business person,
Your perspective changes.
People say business people are arrogant.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Sometimes arrogance, confidence is being misconstrued as what?
It's arrogancy. I don't see them as
sometimes
arrogant.
People are just confident. And I tell you what, money gives you confidence.
That's
when you
true.
Don't have it, your face is like this. You know.
I can attest to that.
I'm telling you, even for me, even now, the day when the money is there in the account, I mean, there's a certain... a certain jump in my steps as I walk.
Not as payday. Like just if you had to do proper homework, check people who get paid on the 30th and the 29th.
I'm telling you.
And then check them again on the 30th. The dressing is on point because you know I'm going to go to town and do some food shopping.
So it's like that. So I started thinking to say, look, do I actually even need this job?
Yeah.
And you see the kind of heart that I already have. I really have a heart for helping people.
Nice.
So I went to my wife because we are now newly married.
Yeah.
And by the way, the company sent us to Mauritius.
With your new wife. Oh my God.
For our honeymoon.
Okay. Let me
now
calm down.
My wife is Herero. I am Vambu. Uh-huh. But I have not seen a Vambu and Herero in Mauritius just like that. For free. Let's put it that way. For free. Like, you don't pay anything. You just get your bags. You go to Hosea Kutakwe International Airport. So those are some of the things that just made me think like, bro, this business is serious.
So right.
Every year they have a holiday. They pay for people who have performed well.
Yeah. And you're one of the people that performed well.
In fact, the previous year they sent us to Cape Town.
Are you serious?
The previous year they sent us to Cape Town.
Yeah.
The following year, Mauritius. The other year, Victoria Falls in Zambia, Botswana, Zimbabwe, Borna, Namibia.
And what about school this whole time that you're going to Victoria Falls in Mauritius? And what about school? You didn't tell us.
You have your days of leave. If it fits on the time when you're not, you just, but you need to be in favor with your school principal.
Okay.
Some school principals are not so good.
So
the other thing is, if they know what you're doing, some of them, I've experienced this firsthand. I've had people who hated on me just because.
Of course not.
Of this little success I was.
You have money. So there's a way people get jealous of people.
You need to be in favor with your
people.
Even though it's not supposed to be that, because everybody deserves a holiday. That's why the government gives you your days of leave, right?
Yes.
But they make it complicated. They will tell you, no, you can't go until you have prepared the notes for the year, the week that you are not here, and things like that. So it's those dynamics, but it doesn't stop somebody from actually taking leave. But most of these things also, like most of the activities that they do in the business, they happen during school holidays.
Okay.
Yeah, but particular instances, if it happens to fall in a place that's not in a time that's not a holiday, then you have to apply for your leave.
Mm-hmm.
So 2014, it was good. 2015, the money was really coming in to a point where you start now, because your debts are paid off. The salary is still coming in as it is.
Yeah.
Now even higher because now you don't have those deductions.
Yeah.
The business money is quite a lot. You don't have a lot of responsibilities yet. So now you can find something where, okay, you will end up, I end up at a position where when I get paid, let's say I get paid in January, end of January.
Yeah.
I'm still using the money that I got last December.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because you have money already.
Yeah. The money is in and the salary is still there. Okay.
Yeah.
And that is now things. So eventually, because of this network marketing business.
Yeah.
I took the training so seriously that I became a trainer.
Uh-huh.
Now, as a school teacher, obviously you are already in the training arena, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But to train people, because now I'm trained to teach English and geography and development studies to high school kids.
Okay.
So it's not the same, because now you find a lawyer, you find
a you're dealing with doctor, adults.
You find a nurse.
Who we'll question what you are telling officer. Them. Yes.
So, I took the leadership so seriously. They started flying me to South Africa, to attend more leadership schools. I remember meeting the founder of our company. He flew all the way from San Francisco, California, because this company is from America.
Yeah.
So he came to South Africa to do the training for leaders. So they called me from South Africa to say, we have recognized that you are one of the important, young and influential Namibian
and very zealous
in our company.
Zealous.
So we want you to come so that you can meet the founder and he can give you 1 week training.
Mm.
Now, this company at the time, New Life was, was making over $56 billion just in Africa. The revenue per year.
Okay.
$56 billion, not Namibia dollars, US dollars.
Okay.
So when you get a leader, an owner of a company that, I mean, he's a multi-billionaire.
Yes.
That guy, Mr. Jerry Brassfield, right? Yeah. He was approached by Forbes to be put on the top 10 richest people, whatever, but he's a Christian.
Okay.
Yeah. So even the business is run on Christian values.
Yeah.
And actually that's how I found Christ.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Through your business.
In South Africa had came to Namibia to do a meeting, September the 9th in 2009. And then he came to do a business, like a weekend business conference.
Yeah. Yeah.
And on the Sunday, he hired a band. In fact, he put a band together.
Okay.
And he pays them from their pocket on a monthly basis up to today.
Okay.
He travels with that band every time he goes to make conferences. So on the Sunday, it's church service in the morning. And then they make an altar call. And that's how I found myself giving my life to Christ.
Imagine.
But before then, I was invited to different churches and I didn't do that because I just didn't see the
something and triggered you at that time.
Yeah.
At that point.
No, I wanted the successful. For my business. That's why I gave my life to Christ. I said, look, Christ, if this is cool.
Yeah.
Please. I'll give my life to you and,
I love your honesty.
Help me, brother. No, but that's what
I love
you.
Even
when I'm coaching people now, I tell them to say the first thing that I'm not this guy. I remember 2017,
18. Yeah.
Yeah. 2017, 2018. I won the number one. What do you call it? It's called team sponsoring. Team sponsoring is like the person who has brought in more people.
Yeah.
In all 14 countries in Southern Africa, in SADC.
Oh my.
Beating South Africa, who has more population than Namibia.
Oh my.
And things like that.
Yeah.
So I won for 2 consecutive years. Nobody could beat me in the number of people to bring in the business who are joining up as afresh.
That's because would say it's the zeal. Even the way you tell the story. You're passionate about what you're doing.
Mm.
You're really giving your heart, soul, and body to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is very correct. The zeal is definitely there.
Mm-hmm.
But the number one underlying factor, the core of this whole thing is God. Because for me, I don't believe I'm that good. Because in school,
I
did well in school. That's why I'm still here, actually, like this.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm not that good.
I hear you.
Things that I'm doing.
I hear you when you say that.
It's just by God's glory that all these things that I'm talking about. In fact, I was supposed to start with this as a disclaimer to say everything that I will be saying to God be the glory, because it's not me, actually. It's just God. So I started praying more. I started, because even me finding my wife, it's just God, because I had girlfriends before I was saved. I had people that I thought I would marry this one. They turned down the proposal. I don't want to get married because they wanted a wedding that's $100,000 and things like that. You know, and then you split up a relationship because the girlfriend wants a wedding that costs less than $100,000 because other people, that's what other people are doing. So I took 2 years where I said, okay, for the next 2 years, I'm not going to speak to any woman.
Nice.
I'll just be alone. I'll build my business and I'll be praying and fasting for this thing so that God gives me, because I was getting, you see, when you start making money, now you have 3 cars.
Uh-huh.
I mean, not Lamborghinis. I'm not saying like you have a double cab, you have a sports car, you have another car, like a family car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because at one point I had that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have the latest cell phone. You can afford it because now you have money for business. You are still a school teacher, right?
Of course.
Like you are making more money. So when you go around, people get to be attracted to those things more.
Especially women. Women are attracted to material stuff.
Who started chatting with me and he wasn't coming to, he started chatting with,
okay, sorry.
I have a lot of stories.
Oh. Yeah. Let's reserve that one for now.
Okay, but I'll just tell you, I had a guy. He texted me. I thought he's a lady. So he pretended to be a lady the whole time, but he's gay, right? He's a gay dude. The one time I said, okay, let's meet in town because I thought, okay, when you're chatting, you can connect on certain things.
Yeah, of course.
So I thought, maybe this is the person. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe this is my wife.
I haven't been approached by a lady before. Maybe this is the wife, you know? So I decided to meet him and then he sent his cousin, who's a girl, to go to the restaurant.
Oh!
And stuff. So I went. Then I was now introducing myself. Oh no, are you who? I said, no, I'm not that person. That person is shy to meet you. I'm the cousin. She's not saying I'm his cousin. She said, I'm the cousin. She's not saying him. She's saying
everything is being hidden.
So I'm like, okay. So, but now we are kind of wasting each other's time here. I mean, I came to the restaurant meeting this person. We had an appointment to meet. And then the guy walked in and he's a dude. So I was like, hey,
the rest
dude,
is history.
I'm sorry, but
yeah.
Okay, so it was like that, but like you get a lot of people who are coming to you
attracted to your finance.
Approach somebody; it's easier for them to just say yes, maybe because of the things you have.
That's true. That is so true.
You know, so
I know somebody who was broke. Broke is I don't want to say is hell. I can't say that.
Yeah,
was broke and suddenly he started having money.
Yeah.
No, he didn't start having money. Mm. He bought a BMW. Second hand.
Okay, yeah.
I was around when he bought that BMW second hand.
Yeah.
So now you know when the car is running on the road.
Mm-hmm.
We don't care whether you got it second hand or you got it from BMW shop Exactly. Yeah. So we just see, and we don't even know whether the engine is somehow or whatever. We just see the body, you understand? So it's a beautiful BMW and everybody's fascinated like, wow.
Yeah.
So suddenly, girls were being pulled towards him. But then if you're not standing your ground, you don't have certain moral
standards. In fact, if you
don't
know what you want.
Yes. You will go with the wind. It's very easy to just go with the wind.
Yeah. So that's what happened. And I didn't have a problem of approaching ladies. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a problem for ladies to approach me.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they don't approach you, but they make some eyes. And you can tell that this person.
Ladies also. You know? Hi.
Yeah. So I had a lot of that. And I was meeting a lot of wrong ladies who would not make a good wife.
I hear you.
Because of that, I just said, okay, let me just take the 2 years. For the next 2 years, I'm just going to pray fast, church, business, work. That's it. And
that,
then I did that.
That on its own. On its own.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we are asking, we want something, but then it requires you to be in a waiting area where you're not with somebody. You can't be saying, I'm asking, looking for a husband, and I personally can't be looking for a husband and I have a boyfriend over there. Which husband are you looking for when you already have a
such kind of
So
things.
It doesn't work. But I'm looking in within your story. I'm looking for that point where you eventually, let's fast forward it. You eventually left school to focus on business.
Right. Okay. Good one. Maybe the other stories will just be part of the other things.
Yeah.
Another time, maybe we'll.
No, this will be a part two.
Fast forward to 2000 and so I was now making money, good money, met my wife. Now I'm married.
Yeah.
We didn't have kids for 4 years?
Was that a problem? This is a family show. Was that a problem for you and your wife?
Not really. It started
becoming a problem.
Not really becoming a problem. It was. How do I put this? When we got married.
Let me rephrase my question.
Yeah.
Were the two of you bothered because you're not having kids for those 4 years, or?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or was it, and that bothering, did it come in because it really started with the two of you, or rather family now started pressuring the two of you?
Okay, my wife and I, we don't really let our family, we put them in their places.
Okay,
right?
Okay. Nice.
I'm sorry to say that.
No,
that
you don't have to be sorry about that.
But
we need to do that.
Right?
Because you know what? So sorry.
Yeah.
You know what, Andreas? Mm-hmm. This is what I've come to realize.
Yes.
The in-laws abuse let me put it like this. a woman, a wife,
yeah,
is mostly mistreated and even abused by her in-laws because the husband allows it. That and vice versa. The moment the husband stands and says, this is my wife, you don't talk to her like that.
I remember us having a problem at my homestead in the north.
Which should be like...
And we had... they called a meeting. They called a meeting and it's my homestead.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
Because my father left it to me, of course. I didn't chase out anyone, right? So I just said, okay, we can still live in the house until at least some people get married off and things like that.
Because yeah,
we're already living there.
Yeah.
And that's the heart I have, right?
Yeah.
But because it was left to me and it's registered my name and everything.
Yeah.
So I'm the overall person who is supposed to make the decisions for the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the one who brought in the water, for example, and things like that.
Yeah.
Right? Because
yeah,
we had community water and things.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. So, when we had a meeting one time, then one of my sisters says, no, your wife can't be part of this meeting because she's not part of this family.
Oh,
I said,
hi, Bo.
My sister, I am a Christian who is married in church. And the Bible says, my wife has forsaken all things to follow me.
Ooh.
And my people are her people and her people are my people. Right? So because of that,
yeah,
I said, if my wife is not going to be part of this meeting, then I am sorry that I myself will not also
be. Neither will I be part of the meeting.
Simple as that.
We're looking for men like this in the society. And it's, men,
because
are you there? Are you there listening right now? The reason why your in-laws, your sister-in-law, your mother-in-law, your cousin-in-law, everybody is mistreating your wife, it is because you
allow it. That's correct. That's very, very correct. Yeah, so the meeting happened. My wife had to come and sit next to me.
Yeah.
And we did the meeting. But that just showed that that is how it is. Because, look, my family members are scattered. Some are in Rehoboth, others are in Shakatio town, others are in Ondonga, Wombalantu, Rakana, wherever.
Yeah.
This woman is the one, if I get a heart attack now, which I can survive, right?
Yes.
By the grace of God.
Amen.
She
won't get one in the first place. You won't get one in the first place.
She's the one who can call the ambulance, not my sister. My sister is there wherever she is. My brother is there wherever she is at his house.
No, forget heart attack. Maybe that's too serious. That's
okay.
Too serious.
Yeah.
Let's say you start having diarrhea for the next 2 weeks.
Exactly.
1 week and 5 days.
She is the woman to be running around for me. First,
changing your diapers.
Uh-huh.
Your own biological sister.
Before my sister is informed that my brother is sick.
Inform them. The whole family is informed. They'll come to the hospital and greet you and bring you juice, but they will not be there present.
So that is why we allow our families to disrespect our wives.
Yeah.
For me, I have come to a point, I'm grown up enough and I have had a lot of input from business mentors who are also, because I don't allow, well, I still get a quote of inspiration from Elon Musk maybe, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe from somebody, a businessman in Namibia. I wouldn't mention the names because now.
No, you can.
But I'm just giving an example.
Okay.
I would be inspired by a story of a business person.
Oh.
But I don't really let myself get mentored by mentors who are not Christian like me.
I hear you.
In business.
I'm
being mentored in business.
Ooh.
My pastor is somebody else. He's also a business person.
And I hear you.
He has his own thing going. But as a Christian child of God who is born again, and for me, I don't apologize for my being born again and things like that. So
say that again. What
I'm saying as a born again Christian child of God.
Yeah.
You need to find yourself mentors who are also born again and they are Christians. Because that's the only way you can learn the right things that can work.
Yeah.
I have one of my mentors, I think he's been mentoring me now from the whole of last year, 2025, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is Mr. Myron Golden. You can Google his name, Myron Golden. He's based in the US.
Okay.
He is a multi-millionaire. He's a business consultant as well. And so I get mentored by him. So, and he's a Christian. In fact, his mentorship program.
Yeah.
He mentors people in business using biblical principles.
Why is that important?
The Bible. He quotes the Bible to prove, like how people say, no, you are a Christian, but you want money. Why do you want to be rich when you are, okay, who was the richest person in the Bible who was richer than everybody else that we know today?
No, let's talk about
King Solomon, right?
Let's talk about the scripture that says, money answereth
all things. Questions.
All things.
Yes.
Exactly.
That is correct. So things like that, you see, if you look at a Christian person and you say, oh no, this guy is a Christian. Why does he want to make a lot of money? I mean, are you not just supposed to be? No.
Being poor can also make somebody to backslide. Did you know that?
Oh, yes. And I've seen a lot of those cases.
Yeah. You get frustrated with a lack of finances,
mm-hmm, because
bills.
Money, the Bible is very clear. Money answereth all things.
Thank you.
So, and God allowed us to make money.
Thank you.
Right?
He giveth wisdom. I think that's a whole topic on its own to
is it,
pull
Deuteronomy
out.
Deuteronomy 8:18?
Mm-hmm.
Deuteronomy 8:18.
The one I'm talking about is Proverbs 8. The one where he giveth wisdom, you know, to
remember
do
the Lord
things
your
as
God.
Ah.
Okay, that's now Deuteronomy 8:18.
Okay.
Remember the Lord your God, for he's the one who gave you
the ability to make wealth. Yes.
Right?
The ability to make wealth.
And if you want, you can just Google the Bible. In the Bible, you just say how many times was the word prosperity or rich. Okay, use the word prosperity because it's what usually the Bible says.
They
say riches and things, but how many times was the word prosperity used in the Bible?
A lot of times.
You'll be astonished.
A whole lot of times.
But it's probably more than 100 times.
Yes.
I know it's more than 100
times.
Yeah,
it's more than 100 times.
So this idea, it's just the wrong teaching, the wrong principle when people say, oh no, you can't be a Christian and still be rich.
Sort of to say Christians must walk around poor.
And actually, that goes back to the time of the missionaries when they started coming here, because people were teaching people to say, no, it's evil to be poor. Money is evil and things like that. Money is not evil.
Mm.
It is
the love.
You have the love for money, mm-hmm, to put money above everything else that is good and morally correct and principally correct for the Bible and everything, that it becomes evil. It's the love of money that is evil, not the money itself. Yeah. So things like that. So I'm getting a lot of mentorship from Christian mentors. My mentor in South Africa, his name is Mr. Charlie Bolton. He's a white man, a boer. Yeah. He actually says that himself when he comes.
I like that.
Yeah. And this man is the one who kind of started the Namibian team. This team of the business that I'm talking about, the New Life business that I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. So, he makes about 4.7 million Namibia dollars per month being paid by this New Life business. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, at least he has shown me that money. I'm talking from what he has shown me.
Yeah.
So, maybe if in the next 2 years it goes down, I don't know, but, his business is never going down. It's always going
up. Yeah. There are some businesses that I think, there's some businesses that family, do that.
Yeah.
No. Let me rephrase. Mm-hmm. There's some businesses that people start a business.
Yeah.
Of course, it was a struggle and it was a lot of work as a foundation is always a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
But then those people can be sleeping in their, let them travel. They traveled to South Africa or Mauritius for the holiday, but the business is running and money is still coming in. And I think that is what we're talking about when we're talking about family business legacy.
Yes.
But let's fast check to something that.
It is. Even with him and, for me, I haven't reached that level yet, but it's coming very soon.
Amen.
It might even come, I think, even this year by December, I might have already, God willing.
I love your faith and hope. You know, Andreas, let's go back. There's a question that I asked you perhaps somebody
might. About me leaving the job, eh?
Before you get to you leaving the job.
Okay, cool.
The issue of you and your wife didn't have.
Okay, sure.
For 4 years.
Yes.
And tell us now how many children you have.
Okay.
And
so,
just for the next person, we have couples who are going through, barrenness and all that kind of
that's
stuff.
That's good. Thank you. What we planned was that we get married in 2014, December, right?
Okay.
And we take time to just be the two of us, until about December the following year, 2015, right?
Okay.
So our family doctor, prescribed, because I always talk about subscribe to the channel, hey?
Yeah.
He prescribed, some tablets that my wife had to take so she doesn't conceive for a year, right?
You kidding me? I didn't even know that. You need to teach me that so I can teach the people on radio. There's such a thing?
Yeah. Family doctors can give you something that.
Certain medication to.
Yeah.
So that you don't.
The trouble, however, of that medication is the side effects.
Oh, okay.
So my wife was pretty fertile. Let me even mention this thing because I've spoken to quite a number of people from different churches and they didn't know that that's how they're supposed to do it.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, just take me back again.
I will.
Because you know I have a lot of stories. So before, when you meet a person that you want to marry,
yeah,
in my church, my pastor is a medical doctor.
Okay.
By profession, he's been practicing. He's 62 years old, I think, this year. Turning 62 this year.
Uh-huh.
What? Yeah, something like that. But yeah, he's a medical doctor. So he also doubles as my doctor, right? So before... When you meet somebody that you want to, okay, in my church, what we do is when you meet somebody that you want to marry,
mm-hmm.
first you go for a full body checkup.
We do that too. Medical checkup, right?
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. That covers HIV things, right?
Hepatitis.
And then there are these other tests. I think it's called a seedling test, like seed, the word seed.
Oh.
Then you just add L-I-N-G, seedling test.
Okay.
That test, you need to have it with the person that you are thinking of marrying. And this is supposed to happen before you guys start courtship. In church, we call it courtship.
Call it courtship. We also call it
courtship. Dating, right?
Exactly.
Like when I met my wife, I met him
at
a funny place, and I got her number, and then I started chatting with her, and then before I could even shake hands with her.
Yeah.
She told me, because she was already born again. Now, for me, I was born again, but I was not very serious with my faith at that time,
even though
I was born again. But I wanted, because I had a lot of challenges. All my friends were not born again.
Mm.
And then they started disrespecting me because of my faith now. And they don't want to be found around about me. I don't go to bars and things like that. So when I met my wife, when I asked her to say, okay, can we go out on a date just to get to know each other for the first time? She said, no, we don't. First of all, I don't date.
Yeah.
I'm a born again Christian, and we have spoken about the born again thing. And
yeah.
That's why I was more interested, because when I got a number, I didn't know her. And it takes me back again to the other part when I said I prayed for a wife, right?
Yeah.
The one thing that I said to God was that God, when that person that I meet is my wife, I want to know instantly that she is the wife before I even know her, even if she's a white person. even if she's Damara or Herero or Angolan, I just want to know, like you need to give me a sign that give me the peace of the heart. That when I see that person, whether she is in a big crowd of people, if I see her and she's the wife, please just tell me that she is the one. Give me that conviction, that moral conviction, that
heart. Inner voice telling.
You know?
Yeah.
So when I met her, I was actually giving a speech somewhere.
Ooh.
And I kind of stuttered again when I saw her. Because when I just saw her face like this the first time, the words kind of went to what I was saying. I couldn't quite connect. And I knew she's the one. And now I'm the presenter. She is in the audience. I had to now make a way to get to meet her, to speak to her after. Because you don't know if you will ever see her again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how it is.
If so she's your wife, you're going to work it out.
I waited, and then she came eventually. And then, I went over to her and then I found out that I'll be able to see her again next week at the same venue, because she usually comes to that venue to do something. Right?
Interesting.
Yeah. So then I didn't ask for her number that day, because now I need the proof again to say, okay, God, you need to confirm, because if I never see this woman again, then I know it's not her. Right.
Right.
Okay. She wasn't a woman. Like she was 20, what, 23?
Yeah, but it makes sense. You're saying woman. It makes sense.
I think I should just say a girl.
But she's a woman now.
If I saw that girl again, if I don't ever see that girl again.
Oh, okay.
Then I know she's not the one.
Oh, okay.
So I continued my prayers and everything. So that day I just spoke to her, just, hi, how are you? I'm who? And then she told me her name and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then we left it there.
Yeah.
So the following week, and then I went back to pray, right? Say, God, if next week she comes to this center again, at the same time as me, and we meet, then I will not ask you again. I know that it is her. Next week, same time, I'm there, she's there. Different days. We didn't talk about it. And then I asked for her number. Now, when I asked for her number, the day, I think that week it was around about Tuesday. On a Thursday, I was traveling to South Africa for a business conference for the same company, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I tell her, okay, I'm traveling to South Africa. We might not be chatting this weekend, the weekend. So, I might get back to you after next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he said, no, it's fine. And then I went to South Africa, came back. Now she was asking a lot of questions. What business are you doing? Okay. And then I said, okay, when I come back from South Africa, we need to go for out on a date.
Yeah.
And then she says, okay, no problem. Okay. First, we don't date. In my church, we do courtship. If you are interested in marrying me, you need to come to my mother and ask my mother to take me out maybe to a place, maybe a restaurant or whatever. And then we can sit there and talk and bring me home before 6. I'm like, my sister, you are just ticking the right boxes. So I did that. I went to her mom.
Yeah.
I went to ask. I introduced myself. It was just awkward.
Yeah.
But you see, these things might sound old-fashioned, but this is how we are supposed to do proper
things.
This
is what we are supposed to
do. If you are building a marriage is not supposed to be built for 5 years and then you divorce or 10 years.
And in a rush.
Yeah, for us who are in church, no divorce.
No, not even for us who are in church. That is the truth on everybody.
Yes,
that's the standard.
That is how it's supposed to be for everybody.
Yeah.
But at least for those of us who are born again Christians,
yes.
Divorce is not an option.
No, it's not.
Yeah, so I did that. We went to a restaurant. We started talking. And the conversation took, I think, about 3 hours. And you know how God works.
Mm-hmm.
He just opened her whole heart to me. And he opened my whole heart to her. That day, when we left after those 3 hours of sitting, we started that restaurant, that German restaurant at the hill, at Plan Vintuk, on the hill. If you come from Bank Vintuk, Bank of Namibia, going to, like, to Maramo, before you pass
the one on the hill, right?
Ministry of what ministry was there?
Land?
Bank of Vintuk? Yes. Vintuk High School.
Land and Resettlement.
Ministry of Finance. The next robot, you turn right. The restaurant is on your right, on your left. Yeah, sorry, you turn left.
Don't know it.
The restaurant is on your left. It's on a hill there. It's nice. When you're there, you see the whole of Vintuk.
And
we went there and we sat there. We bought a bit of food, we ate and we
Because
talked.
You have so money now, you can
when
buy
we
food.
Talked, yes.
Okay.
When we talked.
Yeah.
When we talked, we told each other our whole life stories, the whole truth. Nobody left out anything.
No lies.
And I don't know how that
happened. Nice.
Well, I know that how that happened. Most people will say, I don't know how that happens, but yeah. I know how that happened because God was involved in that. Because he knew that the two of us are serious. Like,
we're not playing games, so to say.
So,
mm-hmm.
She said, okay, like I said, we don't date. No sleeping together before we are married. If you want to spend time with me, let's say you want me to come to your place, I will come with my sister from church. Then we will sit there. We will be together with you. If you want me to come to your place, you need to be with a friend. Now, at that time, I didn't have any friends in church.
Yeah.
So I couldn't call anybody to say, come and
accompany me.
My fiance is coming over.
Mm.
So, and that is done so that you don't get a chance to fall.
Of course.
Yeah.
Not because it's controlling and whatnot.
So if you go to a public place, Maramo, you are going to walk around doing window shopping. Yeah, mm-hmm. That you can be the two of you, but no holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the funny thing is, the first time when I got my wife, she sat. Oh no, the one time I picked her up to go to church. And then my pastor was like, this girl has been coming to church ever before you got in the picture on her own. Why are you picking her up? She's supposed to come to church and just make her way to church.
That's
and
true.
And you guys meet at church.
That is true.
I was like,
true.
Okay, but it's just courtesy. And then when we arrived, she was sitting in the front seat. My pastor said, no, that seat is not hers. She should sit at the back. You are the taxi driver now. Yeah?
Yeah.
Because if you're sitting next to each other, you can hold hands.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to hold hands.
And you'll be distracted also.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was just those things. Yeah. So let me go back to the other part. So the seedling test.
Mm-hmm.
Is a test that a doctor performs to see if the two people
mm-hmm.
who want to get married
mm-hmm.
can actually conceive with each other's bodily whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mostly when they get together.
Yeah, yeah.
And that they will be able to give birth to healthy children.
Oh, no, I didn't hear about that before. No, I don't
know
either.
People just get married.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, and you see, it throws the whole thing. The whole thing, like, I've fallen in love with this person. It throws it into that love part out of the window.
It does.
Because if you go and your test comes back and it says, you guys are not compatible. your DNAs are not compatible or whatever.
What they call AA test?
No, it's called seedling test.
Because for ours, what I know is on a certain sickness, like if the two of you get married, you will have AA type, something like that.
Yeah.
CA type.
I think the same thing.
It's probably the same thing. You explain it more clear.
That you give birth to cannot have this funny congenital disease.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's that test. So it's HIV and then all the sexually transmitted things and then the seedling test.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And then all the other tests now to say whether I have a high sperm count, my sperm thingy is strong
That's
enough
very
to
interesting.
Make somebody pregnant.
Back to
so,
4 years in marriage, no kids.
Yeah. So, okay. Before that,
yeah.
Let me just finish this one.
Yeah.
Okay. So when we did that, the tests were all good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we because that is what you're supposed to do before you even commit to each other.
Yeah.
So we did that at the very beginning and it was good. Then we started marriage counseling. Yeah. So when we got married, this tablet that my wife was given now to take so that she doesn't fall pregnant for the first year, because we said, okay, we don't want to her to fall pregnant in the first year of our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
We want to at least live together, just the two of us. No kids involved, because you know, when kids are involved, it just becomes another story. Yeah.
So it's more work.
It takes a lot of time from the two of you. You need to get to know each other, because us who are born again people who get married like that, you don't get to know each other.
We don't
properly.
Know each other.
You only meet
properly.
The church, you see your wife is singing nicely in the choir, she has a golden voice.
Yeah.
You have this other brother, you know, and all that. So it's different. So we needed to just take that 1 year to get to know each other.
Yeah.
So at the end of the year, we stopped using recommendation from the doctor, stop using the tablet. Then you should be able to fall pregnant 3-6 months. Yeah. After that. So now we wanted to have now a baby now.
Yeah.
Right. Because our journey, us living together for the first year of our lives, it was awesome. We didn't have any problems. We agreed on most principles. Everything else, we're good.
Yeah.
Really. And we thank God, because for you to find somebody who agrees with you on all levels, the major
compatibility.
Levels of
compatibility. I keep on saying that
it's just,
in marriage,
it's
compatibility.
That is the defining factor.
Thank you.
That's why some marriages don't work out, because people look at material things. They look at this person is from this family. This one is.
I want to travel. You want to stay here.
It's so not... that is what happened, and we both have the love for helping people. My wife would empty the fridge. If there's somebody who is needy of food, and we also don't have food, she will still give the last thing that sometimes her giving, I feel like it's too much, and I kind of say,
honey,
I think you should consider. But like, that's the type of thing that we have. So 6 months went,
no baby.
7 months went, no pregnancy. Baby. So we went, the first year ended, what's happening? Okay. So we started going to the doctors again to just check again. Maybe something has crept in our systems or something.
Yeah.
The tests are coming out positive. There's no problem.
Yeah.
You just need to continue doing what you're doing. And hopefully it will happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we did that the first year. No. Second year. No. Third year. No. The fourth year. In the fourth year, remember I'm in the New Life business, eh?
Yeah.
We have a program for men who cannot make their wives pregnant.
Okay.
To strengthen the sperm count and all that, we have tablets, like a whole combo.
Okay.
We have one combo for ladies who cannot conceive.
I like that you have a combo for the men too. Because why do we always focus on the women? We are not always the problem. Sometimes the men are also the problem.
Sometimes it's just a low sperm count. Men can have low sperm count.
But you know, a man being having low sperm count is considered the woman is infertile.
Yeah, because people just look at the woman to say it's how has a problem. Men also have a problem. And in fact, there are more men who have that problem than the ladies who can't conceive.
Thank you. I'm glad that this knowledge is coming.
It's a thing where, like, overconsumption of alcohol, smoking, taking sugary things, drinking,
maybe anxiety,
dairy things. Yeah. Stress, anxiety, those things can cause a man to have a low sperm count.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we went back for those tests. We found out, I know my sperm count was fine. She's also fine. We didn't have any problems.
Oh.
So, we just needed to, So I said, okay, instead of trying the fertility things that people are doing, can't we use this? And these products, by the way, I had already given customers who were not able to conceive and they did.
Okay.
Yeah. So And then I attended a presentation in South Africa where this scientific advisory board member of Neolife, this very educated people, somebody who has 10 degrees,
yeah,
who has
yeah.
been studying human nutrition, right?
Specialized. It is special.
So one guy came from South Africa to come and talk to us. And then he gave us to say, okay, for our program, so for the Neolife program for infertility, right, for both men and women,
yeah.
the first thing you're supposed to do, instead of just buying the combo and use it, you need to go on a detox program, which is also other products that we have that cleanses the body of all the toxins that are blocking the fallopian tubes and they're blocking the whatever tubes I have
okay, yeah.
for the guys.
Yeah.
urethra and uretra or whatever. Those,
okay,
those
yeah,
two.
This one.
Yeah, I remember from... Is it grade 6, grade 8 geography? I mean, biology.
High school. I remember
yeah,
from high school.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he says, go on a detox program for 6 weeks. And then after that, immediately after that, take the combo for fertility. And if it's men and women who are trying, then both of you should have the thing. So we had to budget to buy the combo for her and the combo for me.
Okay.
And then buy the detox for her and detox for me.
Okay.
We took that detox. We took it for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
After that, I think 3 months later. Oh, no, sorry. We took the detox first for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And then after that, we took the products. We only took them for 1 month. After 1 month, I think the second month or the third month. No, I think the third month, she was pregnant.
Yeah. Interesting.
So it was a thing where it worked like that. And then I remember we were praying for a baby girl and we didn't get a girl. Okay, we wanted a girl first. But,
yeah.
It didn't happen like that, but a boy came.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's how it happened. But
and the boy's how old now?
So let me make this footnote because it will confuse people.
Okay. Okay.
When I got married, I already had one child.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
From out of wedlock.
Okay.
Right. From these relationships that we were trying before we got born again and things like that. My wife also had one child.
Okay.
So those boys are now one is 19, the other one is 16. The one that came from my relationship with another lady before we were married is 16 next month.
Okay.
And then the one that my wife had with somebody else will be turning 19 in February.
Nice.
Yeah, so,
nice.
So just to clarify, so that
yeah, can, and the two of you have gone on to have how many?
The two that we had now together, we only went on to have two
okay.
more, so
okay.
that they are now four. Yeah. So
interesting.
And it's very 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 nice. So we had we she fell pregnant, and we 9 months later gave birth. She gave birth and, yeah, so we had a boy, and we called him Peniel. Peniel from the Bible.
She had a baby 9 months later. She fell pregnant. What am I saying? You're the one confusing me.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, no, I thought you were talking about the second.
Yeah, that's now our first one together.
Yes. But mm-hmm. she had a baby, the first one, and then the second one came after.
No, the second one came 2 years later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
2 years later.
Beautiful.
There's a 2 year gap between the two of them.
Nice. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Now let's go back to the part where you left your teaching.
Okay. Thank you. My wife was a preschool teacher.
Okay.
So as a gentleman, I thought, let me have her to retire first.
Yeah.
Before I retire. So
okay.
2000 and.
Well, while you're there, let me just speak about mine. I've always wanted to be a housewife, sincerely.
Nah.
Always.
It's wonderful if
I
you have
know.
Enough money.
Ooh, if the man has enough money. But that's just my dream.
Both of you. You need to have
but
enough money.
But it's true. That's true.
It's a wonderful thing because you don't have to stress with so many things.
It was my dream job to be a housewife.
Nah. Cool.
It's still feasible, did you think? Anyway, we're talking about you.
You can still do it. It's never late.
Okay.
So I retired her in 2015.
Yeah.
She started just staying at home and just running the business now.
Yeah.
When I met at school, I was still going to school. I worked 2015-16. By 2017, I just couldn't take it anymore. Because you see, one, if the money that you're getting is more than the salary.
Yeah.
Now at that point, I could simply not touch my salary for 2 months. The money goes in and I don't even look. I just keep quiet.
Yeah.
Because the business money was more than enough
to take care of the family.
So I said, well, do I still need to do this? So I said, okay, 2017, I said, well, I'll just work 2016, 2017 from January there. I would not be working. So, I had a lady, a young lady who did teaching practice at Yanmore Secondary School at the time.
Okay.
And we clicked very well. So I thought, this lady is cool.
Yeah.
So if I'm living here, why can't I recommend her? Those days, we could do that.
Oh,
today you can't recommend somebody, my friend. People just apply.
It won't be fair anyway.
That's how it is, but it also has its own.
Yeah. Side, recommendation. You know? Yeah.
So what I did was I spoke to the principal. I said, sir, I'm retiring. And it's nice to retire when you are young. Hey? When you say retire,
what your principal say?
You are 60 years old. No.
What your principal say when you said I'm retiring?
Well, I was just
like, are you delusional?
I was like in my mid 30s or something. Was I not? Yeah, somewhere there. Yeah. So, no, I was in my late 30s.
So wait, hold on. You had money and you're going to retire and you're still going to get retirement money.
Oh yeah, you get your GRPF money from GRPF, of course. The salary stops, but if your business is doing well, it's fine. Yeah. So 2017 on the 3rd of February.
Yeah.
That was my last day at school. So what the principal said is that, okay, Mr. Andreas, if you have somebody in mind whom you know,
yeah,
and you know they're a good person, don't bring us a problem, please. Just bring the person here. Mm-hmm. Then you train them for the month from January when school starts until the day you are leaving, and then
wow.
And then that person can take over acting. Ne? Is it called acting? No, as a temporary teacher. That's the right word. Temporary teacher.
Okay.
Because you need to be temporary. You'll be a temporary teacher for until the posts are advertised, and the posts only get advertised in November.
Oh, okay. I see.
October. Yeah. So that's how it works. So I call this lady, Miss Upapa. She says, Mr. Andreas, I'm sorry, but I just started at Delta. So I said, okay. Yeah, because she was really good. She was good with the learners. She was hardworking. She was just one of those few people that, you know, when people come for practice, like internship, you need to prove yourself.
You
need to be the one arriving before everybody else. You need to leave to be the last one to leave. These things of the way people are doing the, you just want a soft light. It doesn't work like that. People look at what you are doing. You need to be good to your people. You need to be a team player. You need to, there's a lot of things, but anyway.
There's a lot of things.
So,
you know what?
Told me that,
when we talk again on, when you're my guest next time, we'll talk about those things.
Okay, cool.
We'll talk about the importance of being zealous in the company. We'll talk about presenting yourself. The importance of doing, of giving yourself out there and giving your best.
Yes.
Continue.
That's good. Yeah. So she says, no, but I have a friend who, then I said, okay, is your friend like you? Because I want somebody who's like you, really. I don't want somebody, and then I'll make a fool of myself at work, because I'm also told that I need to bring a good person because the principal valued me as well as I was there, right?
Yeah.
So, she says, no, my friend is very good. Okay. Call your friend, and connect us, and then I can call. She calls the friend. She calls me back. She tells me, no, my friend is in the north. She hasn't gotten a job. She's willing to come. I said, can she come now? Like, can she just come in the next 2 days?
Yeah.
She should be in Windhoek in the next 2 days.
Yeah.
Find transport money to come. Yes, she can. And then she gave me the number. We communicated. The lady came. I said, okay, Monday, you should come and come. So as you are coming on Monday, you are just going to be working with me. You come to my class. We go where I go. If I'm going to the office, maybe you can stay in the class or whatever. You'll be with me the whole time until I leave. And after that, you will be the one taking over the class until September.
Wow.
When the jobs will be advertised, you apply. And you know, if you apply when you are already there and you have proven yourself and you are a good person,
yes,
and you are doing all these nice things, nobody would have a problem to recommend you for the position.
No, no, no.
So she ended up getting the position and she's the one who replaced me. And I think she's still there until now.
Wonderful. Yeah.
So 2017.
Yeah.
Out of the job, just doing the business. I didn't have a house. I'm still renting. So the rent for my house, the flat, we had a flat, Pioneers Park, we were renting there and we stayed there, moved to Dorado, moved to Commerzdal, moved to back to Windhoek West and things like that. So, the business was still looking after the whole family. I bought a new car, and yeah, so it was just like that, because I have mentors, they said, if you're buying a new car, buy the car and register it in the name of your company. Because when you pay for petrol, for example, you can actually claim back the VAT from all the expenses of the car. And when you take it for service and all these things.
You're teaching us many things.
And those
here.
Things, people don't talk about those things. And
no, they don't.
It's really unfortunate that business people in Namibia, especially in Namibia, I tell you, most of these things I just found out later, either from other people outside, mentors, or you just find out by mistake somewhere. But
like us, we are finding out by mistake deliberately now, which is a good thing.
Yes. Yeah. So people don't talk about a lot of things that are beneficial for people.
No.
So
they're being selfish.
Yeah. And even if the car is registered on your company name, right? Even if you get into financial problem, you humanly, personally, right? The bank cannot confiscate the car. They cannot repossess the car.
Are you serious?
And I had a car repossessed when I was in debt. I had a car repossessed. So I decided, well, if my company is here, every car that I buy will be registered on my company's.
Because I know how it feels when a car is repossessed.
Oh, it's hectic for me. They came to school. They came to get it at school. Imagine you drove in confidently as a teacher doing your thing. And then these guys come before break. By break, everybody's asking, Mr. Andres, what happened to your car? And then you walk home. And I had things in the car. My files had, it was terrible. Anyway, that's a topic for another day. But seriously.
Sorry about that
experience.
It's those things.
Yeah. So exactly. I think we'll do better because as a business coach, I really want to give out as much information to people out there to make a difference in somebody's life.
Yeah.
That is basically why I'm doing all this because it's just important for people to know. Because some people will make mistakes. The mistake that I made, somebody else shouldn't make the same mistake.
Exactly.
Unless they are, they
unless they've not come across you.
Yeah. Or
even told
them. No, some people you give them advice and they just.
Ignorant.
Ignore your advice.
Yeah. That's
if you ignore my advice, it's okay.
Yeah. But at least go and learn the hard way.
Yeah. So it was like that. So 2017, I resigned from full-time employment. And at that time, I was making over four times what my salary as a school teacher was. So I said to myself, yeah, that is how business works. If you take it seriously, if you are zealous, if you work hard, but now, hard work is being replaced by smart work.
Ooh.
Because hard work is too hard.
I like that.
I don't like hard anymore.
I don't like hard work either.
Yeah, no.
I want to work smart.
Okay.
So please don't tell me hard work.
You can do it.
Okay. Thank you.
And smart work produces, faster results most of the time.
That's true.
This thing of getting rich slow is not good. Have you heard of the saying when say, is it one of those get rich quick scheme?
Yeah.
What is wrong with getting rich quick?
Oh, okay.
Because people,
because apparently it doesn't last.
Subconsciously, we have programmed our minds to think that slow money is better than fast money.
Uh-huh.
But it's also being fueled by tenderpreneurism. Because people who are tenderpreneurs, you are just waking up tomorrow, you are a multimillionaire.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you didn't work hard.
You just worked smart.
Because okay. Whatever you did, must
like for instance,
if
I just,
you didn't steal, if you didn't steal. Yeah,
yeah, yeah if you didn't steal. Yeah. Like for instance, I just started an app right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I worked smart. I just look at what other apps are lacking and then boom. All of a sudden Elon Musk is calling me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm rich. I remember I've worked smart. I get it.
There's a new CEO for Elon Musk business. He offered it to some Chinese guy. I can't remember his name, but it's a Chinese young man. I think he's 23.
Oh, imagine. You know, Ms. Andreas, this has been a beautiful conversation.
Amen.
And very interesting. Have you noticed that we didn't even go for a commercial break?
Ooh, it's true. No, for me, when it comes to what I'm passionate about, we can talk until tomorrow. Okay.
It's very interesting.
Okay. Is it time already?
Yeah, I know, right? Don't worry. There needs to be a part two. You need to be available.
No, that's yeah, so I left my job in 2017.
Yeah.
And me and my wife were just sleeping at home and the money was just coming in every month.
Imagine.
And there's nothing you can... You know, I would wake up only to prepare the kids to go to school, drive them to school myself, drop them, come back home.
Like in the movies.
Yeah.
I
remember when COVID hit. When COVID hit, that is when I saw the value of this business because everything else almost was on lockdown. People who had jobs were losing jobs. Okay, not maybe government jobs, but
most
company jobs and things like that. People were losing jobs. And I remember a lot of people whom I talked to say, join my business the time they had their jobs. Then and I started getting calls. Now people
are looking for hand sanitizers. They are looking for
hand sanitizers. We have one product for my company that was tested at Harvard Medical School in the US during COVID.
Yeah.
And it was the only product that was found to kill COVID within 2 minutes of contact. If you spray it on your hands and you have COVID, it dies in 2 minutes. The COVID virus dies in 2 minutes. They tested it at Harvard Medical School. We have a report, I think, if you want me to report it, I can.
And at that time, soap was a very important aspect.
So that 2020, that product was flying off the shelves. People are now buying it because I started marketing it on the YouTube channel. We have a YouTube channel for the business.
Yeah.
And then we a lot of people, when they are losing their jobs, now they're remembering, oh, this guy contacted me 2 years ago to join a business. Maybe I can make some money from here. Now I've lost my job. Now I'm getting calls. Now people are the ones calling me to say, I want to join your thing. That's your thing, you know?
And this time you have family time to focus on.
Also. I was just at home. So I would, if I have a few appointments, we drive with the wife to the office.
Yeah.
In the morning, we drop the kids at school. We drive to the office.
You
know, sit there for until 1 o'clock. We go and pick up the kids and go
in home. 1 minute. Tell us why family businesses can thrive as yours thrive.
Family businesses can thrive because you have people who are focused on the outcome. You have people who are supportive. Yeah. You yourself as a family business owner, you have a long-term vision. You have a legacy to build. And by the way, this new life business that I'm doing, it's inheritable. If I were to pass on today, me and the wife together.
Yeah.
The money, we are getting paid, today is what, Tuesday?
Yeah.
We're getting paid on the 8th of January, which is this Friday, this Thursday.
Yeah.
The day after tomorrow.
Yeah.
My children will continue getting that money that I build until I no longer have a team. And that's not going to happen because the team is growing every day.
Yeah.
I have teams in Zambia, Botswana, Angola, South Africa, Mozambique, Malawi, DRC, Canada, UK, like that. So Germany, I have teams there. So the business is inheritable. And that's the most important thing for me as a business person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's good to build
a family business.
A family business.
Mr. Josaphat Andreas Kashindi.
Josaphat Kashindi Andreas.
Thank you so much for making time for us.
It's been
a beautiful conversation.
Thank you very much. I'd like to come back again.
You will come back again.
Many of this
by fire, by force.
We've connected today.
Yes. Okay, it's been a pleasure to have you here.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
And with that being said, we have come to the conclusion of our very interesting conversation. I was very invested. I'm always invested in my conversation. I'm just saying that it was a very interesting conversation. I enjoyed myself. I hope you also enjoyed yourself. Now, should you be interested in listening to this conversation again, please head over to our podcast session. Download the Eagle FM app if you haven't already. Also, ensure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also, our Facebook, Eagle FM Namibia. Be up to date. I tell you, right here on Eagle FM, we bring you the most unique stories that you can find anywhere else. From Indapa, happy journey is goodbye. I'll see you again next time. Adios. Ciao, ciao. Bye-bye.